James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. It's great to be back on the air live, and we've got an exciting show. We have some amazing things happening up here at the ranch. We have certain people visiting that we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. We have to keep some things under wraps, but I can talk about some of the things that we're going to be having come up here in the next couple of weeks. And we've got just some amazing footage. We finally got some of the equipment we need. We have these iGen, you know, third generation night shot cameras hooked up to camcorders and also hooked up to monitors. And we're getting some equipment up here finally, and to actually monitor the ongoing activity. And we're also getting the sound of the ship. So it's amazing. We're putting that together, and we have some incredible people here that have the ability. They're sound engineers that have the ability to mix this and put it together. So we have the mothership, and we have the other ships, the smaller ships, and the sounds of the ships, and it's just awesome. And we'll be releasing this later. Johnny Anonymous with Above Top Secret has finally left the ranch, held over for about 2 weeks. And, you know, he had so many amazing experiences and went back with so much evidence that he had real trouble leaving. It was like, you know, losing a part of the family, basically, when he left, because he was really connected with all of us. But the what's interesting is that people come here and they go through a transformation. And I know he was one of the biggest orb debunkers out there. And now to see him going, oh, there they are. Here's a whole column coming, you know. Here's another one. Look at this. They're flooding in, you know. And it's just amazing getting all of this on film. And we had people in the field and, you know, nothing's there. It's just blank. No orbs, nothing. And then they start singing and all of a sudden these orbs start appearing. And next thing you know, they're swirling around us and they're like partying with us. It's amazing. But we had just columns of orbs swirling all around us, and we got this all on film. And it's just amazing what's going on here. And it's continuing to unfold. So I find it amusing when people are waiting for first contact when it's been going on here for about 10 years. The what's interesting, too, is that, you know, it's, when Johnny was here, he said, I can't believe nobody's brought any equipment up to check this out. And I said, well, you know, I said, we do have a lot of armchair investigators throwing stones at us, and we have other UFO contactee groups that are flipping out, you know, because they want to be the one and only. And, you know, they keep saying, well, you don't have photographs of the ships, you don't have pictures of the ships, you don't have metal, you know, solid pictures of ships, and you don't have the sound of the ships and everything else, even though it's all up on our website. But we have more to come, and just phenomenal things have happened here in the past 2 weeks, and it's all been recorded and soon to come to your neighborhood. We've got about a two-week wait on it because of agreements we've made with people that brought all the gear up, and Johnny Anonymous was one of them with Above Top Secret, and he was I can't commend him enough on his expertise, and he's calling himself Low-Tech Johnny, but actually he had the technology that works, and he knew how to put it all together. And not only were we filming just massive ships coming down right on top of the mountain, we're also filming a lot of other ships as well. But and essentially we had the NASA satellite feed up, and we were checking to make sure there was nothing, you know, on the radar in our area. And again and again, we'd have sometimes 35 ships in a two-hour window to a three-hour window. Sometimes there's only one satellite, visible satellite overhead, and we'd see 35 of these things going in every direction imaginable, and some even look like they're going to crash into each other and just miss each other or turn off. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, we've got all this footage, and he's got mountains of footage to take home with him, and I think he's going to be working really hard in the next 2 weeks putting this all together and getting a full report together. So basically, this is the preliminary report, and when the next report comes out, we'll have even more, I'm sure. But it's a done deal. Basically, the information is undeniable for any reasonable mind, and we know there still are the unreasonable minds out there and the disinformation agents, which are doing their best to keep this stuff under wraps. But anyway, the bottom line is disclosure is coming. It's coming from the skies, and it doesn't matter who's involved with it, it's going to happen, and there's no way of stopping it. So a lot of news people, a lot of other people are going to have a lot of egg on their face coming up in the near future. We've got just a lot of other things going on. I want to go straight out to the field because we have a great group out there that were present the past few nights, and they're here a week ago too as well, and they had all kinds of incredible experiences here. So I'd love to bring this out to the field and get in touch with our field crew that's actually out in the field right now where we've been filming this activity, and let's see if anybody's out in the field. We've got anybody out in the field?
Yeah, we're here.
All right. Who's on the phone?
It's J-Mo.
J-Mo. Thanks for coming on the show. Hey, would you like to talk a little bit about your experiences here, not just the UFO activity, but some of the other things you've experienced?
Absolutely. The ranch has been a very transformational place for me. I only arrived here a couple of weeks ago, not knowing exactly what to expect, not really expecting anything. And the activity we saw the first night, I was transfixed by it, watching through night vision goggles, when I saw things that I'd never seen in the sky before, and one of them was like an orb-shaped, I can't really describe, but just an orb-shape with tentacles coming off it to the exterior walls in a circular motion, and it was zigzagging across the sky, and I'd never seen anything like that before, and it wasn't a moth or an insect. It was too high up for that, but lower than the stars. And the next thing I saw really blew my mind because it was a pattern in the sky, like laser lights were being shot and making a crisscross grid pattern. And it disappeared very quickly, but it was definitely there. It wasn't any illusion. I hadn't had a drink or don't do drugs or anything like that. So it wasn't like, you know, pretty straightforward kind of guy. So that was kind of mind-blowing. And then last night, when we were looking at the orbs, the cameras were following these orbs one at a time. We were getting all excited when we saw one, and then we decided to start singing. And as we started singing, more and more orbs appeared, grouping together. And as the song went on, the orbs were like in a rapture almost. And there was a feeling in us all of this euphoria, and it was an amazing thing. And then we started cheering and clapping the orbs. You know, it was like an orb rave, we described it as. And it was pretty special. And then they would disappear when we stopped singing. We'd give it a little break for 10 minutes and decided to start singing again. And sure enough, the orbs would come back in the hundreds, maybe thousands. There were too many to count. So that was going on last night. And then we had a ship come down right on top of the mountain very late last night, and that was pretty special as well. So, and this is a spiritual place. The energy here is very loving, healing. There's a lot of healing that goes on. I don't even think that some people are even consciously aware of it, but it's a very special place on the planet.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show. Do you want to talk any of you about some of your experiences here in the more of the spiritual side of things?
Yeah, I can talk about that. I had a clearing, a spiritual clearing, that was performed by James and Michelle, one of his associates, and I didn't know what to expect. And I was sat in the chair, and this intense beam of light came into my chest, and I hadn't experienced anything like it before. I felt all this energy in my body, and it was a visualization of everything that had been holding me back and preventing me from doing things, and maybe old patterns, psychological patterns, behavioral patterns. I had in my mind's eye, I saw all these ropes being cut very swiftly away, you know, like a just very fast, and then I was getting messages that life is beautiful, embrace life, and to me that was very powerful. After answering some questions that James and was asking me, and James had asked which guide was present, and there was a guide named Babaji, which I had never heard of, but it was very full of love and inspiration, and it was a very emotional time for me. And since then, I've felt lighter, calmer, in touch with something within me that maybe was dormant before and I wasn't completely in touch with, but just overall, it's just been a magical time, and obviously people are drawn here. I came with some friends, was invited, and I think like attracts like, and I think you have to come with an open mind and be leave your everyday life behind, so to speak, and embrace what this place is about.
Yeah, I noticed one thing is that you were the first in line. It's like you're the one that had the courage to actually go through the process, and everybody's kind of watching you as the guinea pig, you know, it's kind of the sacrificial lamb. Let's see what happens, you know, when he comes out. And I noticed everybody saw a huge shift in you and said, wait a second, you know, and then next thing, you know, they one by one, almost everybody jumped in.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I'm always curious. I think anything that can help anyone as a human being to grow and to expand, I'm right there for that. So when I started talking to you, and you know, it wasn't like you were saying, "Oh, you should do this or you should do that," but I knew that it would be a good thing to do. So,
mm-hmm.
Whether I was brave or not, I don't think it was brave. I think it's just a natural progression of the right thing to do. So
yeah, well, you just go by that inner guidance, you know, whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's good that you heeded that inner guidance and acted on it. A lot of people hear things and don't do anything about it.
Well, a lot of people in the modern day, they get so caught up with their television and computer and distractions, and, you know, so you have to kind of quiet yourself. And in the modern society, that is not the normal thing to do. That is, you know, almost, how can I describe it? Almost anarchy. Because it goes against society to actually be still and quiet and not to you know, kind of distract yourself away from yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, after this process, do you feel like a deeper connection to, you know, some of the other things going up there in the heavens above, the ships and other things? It seems like there's a... Do you feel that kind of enhanced that connection?
Absolutely. Absolutely enhanced the connection because, you know, here we are on this tiny planet in our own galaxy, and there are countless galaxies beyond this one, and I am believing that obviously higher forms of life exist other than humanity, so I think anyone that thinks otherwise, there is an ignorance and a fear there that they're afraid of what's out there, and I think that's why the governments are you know, suppressing that because they don't want to instill fear into people, and because they're not entirely sure of how to deal with this kind of phenomenon that's happening.
Hey, I've said that if we're the best and the only God has, this is a pretty sorry universe. You know?
Yeah.
And we're in trouble.
Exactly.
You know, so. But is Danny or any of the other people out there? I'd love to get Danny on the air here.
Yeah, Danny's sitting here right opposite me. Danny, you want to be on the air?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on. Okay. Here's Danny. Hold on.
Hello.
Dooney boy.
Hey, how's it going? All right, James?
Good. How you doing?
All right, man. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I wanted to bring you on the show because of the sound that you had a chance to experience of the ship.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, being a sound engineer and probably one of the best, I thought it was amazing what you did with the sound. And in listening to this sound, what was your take on the sound of the ships that we have recorded?
There was the two different recordings. Is the one that we recorded here?
Yeah, well, yeah, you can talk about both of them, actually.
Well, there was the recording that was made in Portland by a friend of yours, which was obviously something really, really big with some strange harmonic qualities about it. It was really odd, but it was huge, whatever it was. You know, it was this, you know, this pulsating sound that was, that I couldn't really synthesize, really. You couldn't get something to sound quite that big synthetically. It was huge.
Yeah. And now we had the other one that seemed to operate on some kind of a Tesla frequency or knowledge that we do know about, where you were saying it had a feedback loop where it was feeding back upon itself and getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah, that was the sound. The sound was of something feeding back and being contained. And I did a bit of an experiment where I sort of took a slice of the sound and I created my own feedback and stuck a compression on it to try and contain it, and the sound was virtually identical, you know. So it was like, yeah, there's feedback involved in that. Where, you know, in the audio quality, the audio that sort of come with it, sort of confirmed that, you know.
And yeah, it seems like this feedback, that's what Tesla did with a lot of alternating waves or whatever. They would just keep building on themselves and higher and higher and higher. And would you say this sound of this ship was anything you've ever heard before, anything man-made?
No, I've never heard anything like that before. I mean, I recognize the qualities of, and also recognize, like I said, the feedback that was going on in there from a sound engineer's point of view, you know. So I heard it, I thought, oh, that sounds like feedback. So, and then you explained to me the whole sort of the thing about Tesla and all that, and it all sort of makes sense. Yeah, well, if that's the technology you're using, then the sound that it will produce would be a feedback effect, because it's a feedback of energy, and there would be some sort of sound associated with that.
Yeah, I thought, as soon as I heard that, and actually, this was captured by Johnny Anonymous at Above Top Secret on his investigation here. And not just once, but four times. And they're going to announce this on their show and at AboveTopSecret.com and bring this out. You know, they're telling me in a couple of weeks they're going to bring this out.
Right.
And you know, what I found it also interesting is that this, the sound of the ship, as well as these, we tried to duplicate these other objects that flew overhead that, again, looked like all these spikes of energy coming out of them that flew behind a tree, over our heads and behind a tree. And a lot of people are trying to say they're dandelions. Well, we took every dandelion, every milkweed, every cottonwood thing we could think of and tried to duplicate it and blow it up in the air, and everything just fell down with a stem on it. And this thing went all the way overhead and then spun around a tree, and we had several others do that too. But, you know, we've pulled out all the stops and tried to find some reasonable explanation for the things that he was filming in the infrared range. While he was using his camera out there trying to capture something in the infrared, he got the sound of the ships coming over, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's there recorded. You can hear all the ambient noise that's around, so it's not something that's sort of been recreated sort of artificially, because you can hear the other stuff. You can hear planes going over, and then you can hear this noise that's running underneath it. So it's sort of just made me go, wow, that's incredible. To sort of hear something like that in an ambient environment rather than it being created in a studio.
Now did you hear the one where we were doing the clearing work in the pyramid?
No, I don't think I did hear that one.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you heard that one, because as soon as we started doing the healing work or the clearing work in the pyramid, that same sound kicked on of one of the ships, and we initiated it, and then Johnny had his leg, you know, really, you could see that in the beginning of the clip where he gets up out of the chair and he can't even walk hardly.
Yeah, I did see that clip. I'm sorry, James. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they asked, hey, is there anything they can do for my leg? And I said, why don't you ask him? And he did, and his whole leg was tingling, and, you know, it was just amazing. But, and he said, wait a second, I've got about 80% of this is gone, and, you know, in a few minutes, it was pretty much all gone. He was walking normal.
Yeah, so in the clip, I saw him when he was talking on camera, and he got out of the chair, and you could clearly see that he was limping, and it looked in some pain, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was amazing. But anyway, it's nice because a lot of this evidence he actually captured while A&E Paranormal State was here doing their research, and they seemed to be not interested in a lot of it, which is kind of sad. But it was especially the sound. I was amazed that they didn't want the sound, but who knows.
I've listened to that sound, and if they're not interested in listening to that, then they're not going to be interested in anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully they'll do a fair and honest show, you know, on what happened there, because the ships did come, and they came right on cue, and they came exactly where I said they were going to come, and not only that, it's all recorded with every one of their producers and their field crew. We told everybody exactly when it was going to happen, and they caught it on film, and there was no satellites, anything on the books for that time period. So
yeah, we checked on the J-track thing, didn't we?
Yeah. And now, you were out there too. Do you remember the last time you were here at 9 o'clock, I said at 9 o'clock over to the east?
Yeah.
There's going to a ship come in. Did you see that ship as well?
Yeah, it was bang on cue.
Bang on
time. It was excellent. It created such a good feeling here as well with everyone here when it was bang on time. It was like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, you think about that. Okay, there's 360 degrees where that could have appeared.
Yeah.
And also the time, it could have happened, you know, 24 hours, any time possible. I mean,
yeah.
What are the odds of hitting it right where it appears and getting the time right?
Yeah, it's going to be astronomical, aren't it? Because you've got so many different variables that it could have come from the,
yeah,
it could have come at a different time, you know.
Yeah, and this one group said, well, we saw a big light, but we don't know what it was. That was all they said when they filmed it.
Yeah.
They go, well, we saw a big light, but we don't know what it was.
There was a big light.
It was a really big light. I mean, the same thing powered up. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool.
Yeah. So anyway, you having an overall good time?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, since the first time we came here, we all went back to Los Angeles, went in the studio, and the work that we did, we just felt totally energized after the trip here, so much more that we've come back again. You know, it was unbelievable. The effect it had on us making the music, it just turned it all into a pleasure, made it really easy. You know, like I've not known before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was like, you know, wow, all we did was go in the studio and have some fun, and then we made some great music, and then we decided to come back here again.
All right. I'm glad you did, because we're all having a great time.
Yeah, man.
Pretty soon you'll never leave.
Pardon?
I said pretty soon you'll never leave.
I know. Well, I'm starting to think like that anyway, James.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, man.
I wonder if Ida wants to come on.
Yeah, I'll just go see if she's there. Hold on one sec.
Or if anybody else wants to come on, you can throw the phone at them.
Just hold on a sec, James.
All right.
Okay, I'm here. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
I wanted to get a female perspective on the events happening out in the on the guy there and out in the field.
Yeah, well, I would be the one for that, because I think I'm the lone female of the group. Well, it's just been pretty insane. The last night was crazy, because the orbs really, really, like, flared up when we started singing. I know JMO mentioned it earlier, but they happen to be fans of the Beatles, I think. Because every time we sang a Beatles song, they just went crazy. It was like a vortex. They just started swirling into this massive thing. And it was completely joyous and filled with love. And I feel like, I mean, obviously it's just my interpretation, but that they were just sensing that energy. And when that was heightened the most is when they really showed themselves. And then I saw this very bizarre flash in the sky, this ball of light for about 2 seconds. I think Rip saw it. And that was crazy. And then on the mountainside, I can't explain what I saw. There are about, you know, 5 or 6 huge beacons of light just kind of pulsating at different times for several hours, starting at about 9 o'clock on. And it was, you know, we'd seen it last week, but last night it was, I'd never seen anything like it. They were huge. And, you know, the mountain's about, I think what you would say, 13 miles away or something.
Yes, yes.
And it would take a really massive, massive light to make that kind of light appear all the way across the way. And I don't know who's on a snowy mountain on a cliff at 10 p.m., but they're quite adventurous if that was a person.
Did you have a chance to look through the binoculars during the day at the area where the lights were appearing?
No, I haven't. Well, actually, I guess I have. I didn't this morning, but I have looked through the area, and I really don't know where anyone would be. You know, the lights where we saw the lights, it's not really, it's not kind of person-friendly in terms of, it wouldn't be a place where you would walk or a hike, because there's not really anywhere to stand. And the hiking trail's in a completely different part of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what I saw last night. All I know is that it was bright and it was flaring up. And, it was like they were doing some sort of dance all across the mountain.
Now, in that area where those massive lights were appearing, we were looking at it through the binoculars and the telescope, and we noticed that there were just massive lava boulders surrounding that area, and there is one little snowy area that's surrounded by boulders. There's no way you could get any kind of a vehicle or a...
No, there's definitely no way there could be a vehicle. Absolutely not.
Even a snowmobile could never get there.
No, absolutely not. No, this is definitely not like an accessible point on the mountain.
And just it's so steep, too, and there's just... There's nothing there.
It's incredibly steep, and it was interesting because it seemed like there was some sort of energy last night, because there was shooting stars. There weren't a lot of shooting stars, but a couple of times I was looking through the night goggles, and what I thought was a shooting star, I would look at a shooting star and to myself say, oh, cool, it's a shooting star, and then it would just continue, and there are about 2 or 3 that just continued across the entire skyline at such a rapid rate, and I can only see it through the night goggles. You couldn't see it with your naked eye, so it was definitely far, far up there. But it just seemed like there was kind of, like, a bevy of activity last night. There was some energy because, I mean, the orbs were flying all over the place, and the mountain was going crazy. And it was interesting, too, because just as the mountain flared up, the coyotes went crazy.
Yeah.
They went wild, man. They were screaming and hollering, and it was completely in sync with what was going on in the mountain. I mean, I don't know if that's just coincidence or if they're directly related, but, you know, it was definitely an observation I made.
Yeah, we also had the ships come over around the same time. We had quite a few...
Did you say? Sorry, I couldn't hear that part.
We had also had quite a few ships come over.
I don't know if you saw the big one
come down on top of the mountain.
Tons. There were two that were tag-teaming each other, it looked like, and then they split off. There were a couple that were going really fast, and then some that went really, really slow and in completely different directions as well.
Mm-hmm.
There were tons, just absolutely tons, and then there were a couple flare-ups too. I didn't catch the flare-ups, but several of the people here were able to see the flare-ups. I think I was looking at the mountain when that happened. It was hard to keep track of everything because so much was going on.
Yeah. Now we took the NASA link and looked up to see during those time periods if there were any known satellites over Trout Lake area. And, you know, there was maybe one or two in that
right.
Period and nothing, especially
nothing.
There was nothing in the area where that massive one came down on top of the mountain.
No, we saw, I don't know, 20 of them, or we saw a lot.
Yeah. And
I mean,
so we did our homework, and those, especially those really big ones we saw that... One came around the back of the mountain, one came down right on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Those were definitely not on the books, and
no.
Actually one of them was treetop level, so there's no way that could have...
Yeah, there were some very low lights, too, I noticed, like kind of odd shooting stars right at kind of treetop level,
mm-hmm.
which is just bizarre to me that they would be that low.
Yeah, it's a bizarre field.
There's definitely a vibe here. There's no denying that. There is something's happening, and I don't know whether it's energy related or what, but it definitely was setting off last night. It was really, I felt really lucky to be a part of it.
Now, when those orbs came in, they looked like they're swimming and just swirling around the whole group.
There was something very loving and delicate about them. It was like jovial energy that, and then they just really, the minute we started singing, it was like they were just working with us, like it was a choreographed dance to whatever we were singing, because they would just, the minute we got really heightened with the song and really enthusiastic, they just came out of nowhere. And there was no wind or anything last night. I mean, the air was very still, and they were just swirling in different directions, and it was a vortex. It became like, it almost looked like it was snowing on the infrared, and there was nothing like that going on actually physically.
Yeah, they look like they're swimming, almost. The way they're moving back and forth and swirling.
Yeah, like a dance. It was like a dance.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was like a choreographed dance. It was really, this made me smile. I really don't know how to describe it any other way. It was just, there was just something incredibly lovely about what was going on. And obviously, you know, I can't communicate with them or whatever it was, and it can't communicate with me, but there was definitely something that I felt connected to with it, and I feel like they were connected to us in a way, because it was just eerie the way, you know, when we stopped singing, they would disappear, and then we would sing again, and they would reappear, and it was very cool.
So overall, are you having a great time while you're here tonight?
I'm having an amazing time. We keep coming back. We're practically living here now.
Yeah, we'll have to, like, bring some mobile homes out and...
I think that's the next step. I think we'll set up camp here. You're never going to get rid of us.
Oh, I don't mind. I love having you here.
No, well, we're having an amazing time. And for anyone out there, if you're privileged enough to come to this ranch, you know, you just in for a treat. James is a wonderful host, and this is a very, very special place.
I can't thank you enough for bringing the feminine perspective.
You're welcome. I hope it was feminine enough.
And also helping all these guys out, you know, like... Kind of keeping that feminine energy a little balanced.
Right. Well, you know, tough job, but some chicks got to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fantastic, and I know I think I can safely speak for everyone here that they've just really had an amazing experience. I would say a life-changing experience for most, if not all of them, and we all just feel really lucky to be here.
Oh yeah, I can't thank you enough for coming on the air too and expressing that.
No problem. Gosh, I hope I didn't, you know, bore all the listeners out there. I'm sorry if I went on for a bit.
Oh, no. I mean, it was awesome. What you said was exactly what I want people to hear.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, then, yay. Job well done.
Yeah, great.
Okay,
is there anybody else there that wants to come on the air?
Well, Calvin's right here. I don't
all
know
right,
if I
great.
Can drag him on the phone, but he's sitting right here, so I'm going to pass it to him.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Okay, here's Calvin. Bye.
Hello, James.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Sounds like you got a good radio show tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, how you doing? Are you having a good time?
I am, mate. I'm very relaxed and in good company. It's lovely.
You guys going to do some singing out there tonight?
Yeah. We're the only crowd who don't need alcohol, I think, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you got that nice British touch there, you know, especially when we were singing the Beatles song.
Slightly mental.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been teaching me my English accent, and I'm not even going to try it on the air, but we noticed that if you say something, you know, with the English accent, that it gives about 20% more credibility to whatever you're talking about.
Yeah, we've got it down pat. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. So, now you guys hiked up there today, didn't you?
Yeah, we went. I don't know how far we went up. Anybody any ideas how far we went up? No?
About
3,000 feet. And then we just looked at that part of the mountain from the center to the top from an angle and could see that was so far away. I mean, I looked at binoculars and there were some walkers going across the snow and they were just minute. So after what we saw last night, I just can't imagine how big a light would have to be if it was being controlled by a human.
Yeah. I mean, the candle power would just be phenomenal.
It was just massive and so bright, and then there just seemed some kind of, I don't know.
Now, well, how wide do you think those lights were? Like, when they were at their biggest, you know, if you look at 13 miles away and you see a light that's the size of a dime, you know, if you hold a dime up, extend it out, and, you know, you're looking at the moon. A dime will actually almost cover the moon. So, I mean, some of those lights, when they really flared up, they're almost as big as a dime.
Yeah, they were big and bright and intense and just amazing to see.
Yeah, we have that footage, and hopefully we can do some kind of calculations as to the candle power and the size.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Size of these lights, but they're just massive. Now,
yeah.
I mean, the terrain that you looked at up there, we were looking through the telescope and the binoculars, and you could see just massive lava rocks all around that area with a little snow field, which has no way of getting entry to that field.
No, it was very, very exciting. You know, I've seen the odd light on the mountain before, but last night it was going on for an hour at least, and it was very, very intense, kept on and off and from different points. It was like nothing I'd ever seen, really.
Yeah, it seemed to be jumping from, I don't know, somebody said they saw as many as five lights at a time.
Yeah.
It was just jumping all over.
Yeah. It was quite amazing, actually. To look at it, it was like they were putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an elaborate hoax if somebody's going up there.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody would have to helicopter in some just massive halogen lights, a whole bank of them, and then helicopter in a generator. And the problem is that's all wilderness area. You cannot even bring a helicopter in there. You can't have any vehicle whatsoever in that area.
It's a ridiculous idea.
Yeah. And when you hear people say, oh, somebody's up there with a flashlight, you know, I just go, give me a break. That light was so massive.
It does tickle me when I hear that.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody could pack anything in that big.
No, and I went up there with an open mind today, and I just thought, well, I'm not going to kid myself if I get up there and it looks possible. But there's no way. There's no way in my mind. I'm being, you know, pretty rational about the whole thing, and to me that was like, what was that?
Yeah. I mean, using discernment, you know, even being skeptical, what would you say? Like it's just totally unexplainable.
Yeah, I would say so. It is. It's unexplainable, and everybody here last night was excited. It wasn't just a kind of a little line of believers. It was just everybody with an open mind going, wow, what on earth is that?
Yeah, do we have the crew out there for some more Beatles song tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure we can get everybody to join in. I think as soon as somebody starts, namely Rob.
We'll bring the columns in again, all the orb columns. And
yeah, definitely. I'm quite excited. The orbs were phenomenal too, just, and the feeling it gave you was, it was noticeable. It was a real lift. It was just, you know, people were kind of looking at each other, going, "Wow, what's going on here?" Not just what's going on the screen, you know, what's going on here with us? This is amazing, quite something.
Yeah, I was wondering, John's probably hiding out there, isn't he? John Savage. He's always kind of hiding. We're going to try to pull him on the air here.
Hello, James.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm not from England. I'm originally from New England, if that cuts any ice. But
that's close enough.
Still a small planet.
Yeah, for the listeners, just let them know who you are. It's John Savage with the DCT Enterprises that actually made Contact Has Begun, the movie.
Yes, I'm the producer of the movie. That I am as DCT Enterprises, contactisbegun.com. But if it weren't for James Gilliland, there would be no documentary done by John Savage of that name that I do know.
You know, you did an interview with our friend Johnny Anonymous from Above Top Secret, and I noticed, unfortunately, Chase isn't here with us, but I was hoping Chase could come on, but you could probably talk about, you know, making the movie and some of the battery incidents that happened there.
Yes, well, a little bit, and that's probably more what I'm interested in, is the it's important to a producer that the equipment works, especially after they own it. And when a minor glitch is a battery, which is the only technical difficulty that we have ever had at your ranch here in Trout Lake, with batteries. And in the process of setting the equipment up and whatnot, the battery was completely dead in a camera that Chase needed. And, of course, the battery charger was left by me many miles from here. And so I had no one to talk to but myself, and there's no way I'm going to charge these batteries. And James said, let me see the battery, and I was hoping he was going to throw it away, because that's what I was going to do with it. And he held it in his hand for about 15 minutes, and it was on full charge, and it worked for longer than it does off of the equipment. So these are the experience that I've had as a producer, and I'm a relatively independent thinking individual, or like to think that I am, but relative as well, but don't want to get off topic here with batteries. But today the same thing happened. They were going up on the mountain here, phenomenal light show that I don't know what it was. All I know is that there was a light show on the mountain last night. So a group went up there today, and Chase was going to go with them. And again, he had the camera, and the camera was dead. And of course, I mean, we had talked about this with Johnny, and he knows equipment, and he's in the film industry. And James, this afternoon, not 6 or 7 hours ago, took the battery again, fully charged the battery, and that from my standpoint is the only thing that I know. I guess, James, you're a battery charger.
Now, that was kind of an exotic battery. It wasn't like something I'd just pull out of my pocket. And, you know, a lot of people go, oh, you just switch batteries or whatever else. But, you know, I don't carry every kind of exotic camera battery in my pocket, fully charged, waiting for somebody to...
No, that's no, and not everybody has those batteries. But anyway, there's no... In our own mind, we know that the battery itself is not available, you know, at the local hardware store. But what the giggle factor here, at least for me, is that you've charged it twice, and you charged this today after we had been laughing about that episode, you know, with the fellow from Above Top Secret.
Yeah,
I enjoy talking with him as a professional to remain unbiased. Really, it's your story as a producer. I've had this conversation this evening. Without you, it would not have been done. I think it's done. Well, it's done as well as I could do it, and it's your story, James Gilliland, and I'm proud to be involved in it in the little way that I am.
Well, I mean, your crew.
I'm gonna find somebody else to talk, James.
Well, now your crew. Now wait a second before you go, though. But you're Michael Knight, and you know, and Chase. The way this whole thing came together was so amazing, and. And you're the first group that could ever tell my story that were awake enough to actually get it right and get it on film and do it even better than I possibly even imagined.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment, and I'm going to accept that compliment. I don't see it the way that you see it. I see it as a it was not a work for me, and I had a conversation with an individual I just met, and I just said this wasn't work. And what you did that is unique to a producer is your openness, and you gave me access to everything. And with even right at this moment in time, even though I'm all done and I'm not asking you for anything, but that's unique. Nothing was pulled back from me, and that's what made it easy, James. And it is your story, and it is a documentary that is... it's unique, and a lot of people, I get very, very positive feedback from it. It is selling well, and it's word of mouth, really, and it is working, James. And
you've done it.
You've earned it too. So I'm giving you a compliment. And
well, people are telling me it's totally changing their life and it put everything together for them. And they're having trouble tying in, you know, the ancient history of humanity and the earth changes and UFOs and near-death experiences, and it just tied it all together for them. And they said it completely had a life-changing effect on them.
Well, I think that's true, and I think working with it's having an effect. And I came down here last night, and the light show that did go on here last night was absolutely spectacular. And one thing that I would like to comment on is the orb phenomenon that is recorded here last night on video. Now, it's beautiful and it's absolutely astounding that, to my knowledge, anyone that's willing to buy a digital camera is capable of taking still photography of orb photographs. But ironically, at least in my mind, and I haven't wrapped this around, being in the industry, people come to me because I'm just me, and I was aware in an environment that had footage of video of orbs, and it was a phenomenon and incredible. And then I come a few days later at your ranch, and actually that was at another ranch of RSC, which was the first time that I had ever seen that. Absolutely astounding. And then last night to see this, and you had a big plasma screen here so we all could observe it, what was being filmed on the camera, in the group here, which is an incredible energy in their own right, as they would sing, they would literally create a massive swirling beyond number. I don't know how many, that's as ludicrous as to say somebody's up there with a flashlight on that mountain, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not going there. But I just want to say that was incredible to see, and I think at this moment in time, more people will do it, and I think it's mind-opening to people if they desire to not have the answers. And these don't necessarily lead to conclusions, and for
mm-hmm.
me and in my experience with you, that's what I've learned here, and I'm still learning it. So,
you know, what I love about this new technology coming in, it's just validating what a lot of us have been seeing for quite some time. And, you know, a lot of us are seeing the ships, we're seeing the orbs, we're talking about it, everybody thinks you're nuts, and all of a sudden technology catches up and starts validating it.
Well, the technology is there, yes, and this is it being in the industry, and it is capturing it. And it's also unbiased, too, so who knows, maybe we see some things, one person sees something, another person doesn't. I might, for example, filter that out through myself, but the cameras don't. They're totally unbiased. The beautiful thing is, it's not only is the visual recorded, but the audio is as you got with the sound of the ship. So, you know, let the technicians. I think it needs to be explored scientifically. Get away from the woo-woo world, the hocus pocus, and realize that there's something perhaps greater than at least for myself, my smaller mind.
Oh yeah. Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on the
yes.
show. Is there anybody else out there that
I'm
might want to
hand the phone to?
Hey, James.
Hey,
James,
how you doing?
Did you want to speak to someone else? It's J-Mo.
Yeah, is there anybody else that wants to come on the air? We've got just a few minutes left.
Okay, let's see here. You want to speak to one of our lot?
Sure, that sounds good.
Okay, hang on one second. Rich, do you want to talk to... You want to talk to James on the air?
Yeah, okay.
Have a quick word? Okay. Here's Rich.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. You having a good time?
Absolutely fantastic.
All right. Can you tell the audience what you've, some of the experiences you've had while you've been up at the ranch?
Yeah, obviously, unlike some friends here, this was my first visit. I felt very relaxed, I've got to say that. I mean, I've not heard everything that everybody else has been saying to you, but I felt very relaxed. But, you know, from a visual point of view,
You know, I've seen unexplained things that, you know, definitely you couldn't box and say that was that or that could be that, because there are sort of controls to that. You know, we know what we've seen above us aren't planes, because we know what planes look like. We've seen lights from the mountain, just completely, you know, unexplained things, the orbs you've seen. You've probably heard a lot of this already. I've not really, as I say, been listening to what other people have been talking to you about, but I felt really good and relaxed and energized and on all those things, and it's been a great experience.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think tonight we're going to be out there doing the same thing. Hopefully you can... We can bring up those Beatles songs, and as I said before, with all your British accents, it does quite a nice job there. And then the orbs seem to really be attracted to those upbeat songs or anything.
That was right. That was quite an amazing sight, really. That was sort of, there was more of that last night. A little bit of singing and encouragement from the people around, and it really did have a lot of effect on what we were seeing, definitely, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we'll have to definitely kick it up again tonight and see what transpires.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
That's no problem. My pleasure.
Yeah, if there's anybody left in the group there, I don't know if I think we've...
Have you spoken to Scott?
Well,
has Scott been on yet?
I don't know.
Just 2 seconds.
Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Doing great.
Excellent.
Yeah, you having a good time while you're here?
Yeah, we're having a great time. Yeah, thank you very much. Brilliant.
Getting to see some bizarre things that you can't explain?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've seen loads of orbs, and we've seen lights on the mountain, which we can't explain. So, yeah, absolutely. Some strange things in the sky as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we went and pulled up all the satellite data to make sure that there was nothing known, you know, according to NASA. And
right.
There, the things that we were filming were definitely not satellites or space stations or Genesis,
yeah,
or any of the other projects up there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely plenty of unidentified happenings,
mm-hmm,
going on.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue tonight because we have all the gear up out there again, and we've got the infrared technology, so...
Yeah.
We'll be able to play with that again.
Excellent. Yeah, we will be setting that up soon, I should imagine.
Great.
We're all just waiting for our food to cook.
Right.
And then we'll be back on the case.
I'm not missing out on dinner yet, I take it.
No, we still haven't had dinner.
Oh, okay. I'll be up in a few.
Excellent.
All right, well, thanks for coming on the show.
No worries, James.
All right, well, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I think that might be it. I don't know.
Do I turn this off now?
Yeah, go ahead and turn it off. I think we're good. Well, anyway, there you hear it. A lot of happy guests coming to the East Eddy Ranch. And they've got to see some amazing things, and not only did they get to see those amazing things, we have it on film. So we have these huge columns of swirling, dancing orbs that came to play with us. And we also have the ships and one massive ship coming down right on top of the mountain. So I don't know. I know Johnny's got about probably a week and a half or 2 weeks, at least 2 full weeks worth of work to do just on the footage he's taken here and the sound and everything. So, again, that'll be up in 2 weeks on Above Top Secret, and it'll be up on the East Eddy side as well. And it's going to be launched, and the ships are going to be appearing around the world, so start watching the skies. But anyway, it's going to be a very interesting next few months, and if you're not... getting excited about this, you're not paying attention. That's all I can say. But we've run out of time, and thanks so much for everybody for listening to the show, and we're going to have some more exciting news coming up here in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned, and this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening.